This is the National Public Broadcaster of Imam W. Dean Muhammad.
Thank you. God is great. God is the greatest. We worship none but Him, only the one God. And we follow the human example of the best of His creation, His servant and messenger, Muhammad, and those who were modeled before Him. In fact, our first father that He created was created in the most excellent mold. And Abraham is also said to be in that mold. And we follow the order of Abraham. Millati Ibrahim Hanifa, we follow the order of Abraham, the upright in his nature. And we know that God wants us to be the best human being that we can be. And that's why He created for us these excellent figures or examples for us of how God wants us to be and live in order that we have success in heaven, in this life and after. And we pray that God keep us always in the best life and save us from the life that takes us down. Amen. It is wonderful to see you all here on this first occasion for us in this area where we will be addressing an audience monthly, first Sunday of each month. This is our first Sunday in this, I would say, plan. We used to do this years ago. Years ago, we used to speak once a week and invite the surrounding areas, especially those towns nearby, like the big mother town, Chicago, and the suburbs. But also, Milwaukee has always had very faithful and devoted members, and they always came. Before my time, I saw how faithful they were in answering the invitation to come to this area and hear my father, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And we have a few other neighboring places too. But I do remember Detroit having members to come down all the time, and Milwaukee, and a few other places. Now we have Racine and several other places, small cities around, not far from us, and even St. Louis and Kansas, as far as Kansas City. We have imams, representatives from those towns coming whenever we have a meeting of this size or meeting of this importance. I have nothing to say to trouble. I have nothing to say to confusion. I have nothing to say to disappointed people. But I have a whole lot to say to people of good sense, to people of faith, to people that are not disappointed with me. This is no small work that we are doing. This is a big, big work. Big, big job. It's bigger than I imagined it to be when I was a boy. sitting somewhere on the third or fourth row from the front, listening to my father preach. It's bigger than what I imagined it to be when I became a minister under my father, preaching in Philadelphia and getting good results for him or for the Nation of Islam. It's bigger than what I imagined it to be. It's bigger than what I imagined it to be when I became the leader upon the passing of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I had thoughts, and the job as I saw it then, but as I learned more and experienced more in the path of God, I came to see that it is bigger than we imagined it to be. And all the time behind us, this job is big. It is big. And sometimes I feel like I'm all alone. But I hope that as we have opportunities like this to address the major concerns that are in the past, still in the past, for us, we all will come to see, as the Christians say, see it better by and by. No, many of us, I say us because we're included, there are many of us that are not really comfortable with what the religions have offered us. And we certainly are not comfortable with what man's world has offered us. I say many of us. I'm talking about believers. I'm not talking about just any people out there on the streets. I'm talking about people who want to be right in the light of what God has established. And we want to know what God has established. And as I said, religions with an S, religions haven't satisfied many of us. When I look at the religions of the world today, I see those religions needing help. The religions themselves need help. Christianity in the world needs a lot of help. Judaism in the world needs a lot of help. Islam in the world needs a lot of help. And if I had not already been converted to believe in God and follow the way, this world and its religions could not get me. I wouldn't want Judaism, I wouldn't want Christianity, and I wouldn't want Islam. The way I'm hearing it, lived and preached in this world today, the representatives wouldn't attract me at all. Not even those in Mecca. I would have no interest in them. Looking at their world, how messed up it is, and how they seem to be unable to come out of the mess, I wouldn't be attracted to them. You might say, what are we going to do? We're going to follow the best. That's what God tells us to do. God says, and follow the best thereof. Talking about the religion itself. Because the religion invites many levels to it. Many levels regarding good sense and intelligence, many levels also regarding decency or moral nature. It invites many levels. It does not want to place burden
on anyone that that individual can't manage. So it doesn't burden the people who are not interested in education. They don't have any interest to become students and excel in education. So religion, this religion doesn't put burden on them that they can't bear. It has an invitation for them to have family, to have a job, to be honest and decent, and not be worried with higher knowledge, etc. So there's a place for everybody. The religion has a room for everybody. I think this is in the Bible too. There's a room for everybody, you know, in religion. But it expects you to be decent, to want to have good behavior. It expects that of all of us. It expects us to want to have good character, and not to be feared by others because of our bad character, that we will rob them, or that we will corrupt the neighborhood. It wants of all of us decency, human innocence, where you're not having any bad thing on your mind to carry out affecting others. That's what religion wants. Our religion wants that. But our religion, as I said, it invites people from all levels of interest, from the smallest interest of the man who just wants to eat and go to sleep and have a nice place to rest and wake up and go to work and come back home to his family and do that until he dies. Religion invites that person. But the man who carries the burden of the neighborhood on his mind, he wants to see the neighborhood improve. He wants to see life better for people. The religion invites him too. The man that questions the logic or the good sense in things, and he's not satisfied with the world as he's seeing it. He thinks the world is not quite as sensible as it should be. God also invites that person to come. And God gives help to all levels. Gives help to all levels. The man who wants nothing but just a life, family life, God gives help to him on his level. Gives him so much help till one day he might have a transformation. And he might say, "Girl, I think I'm going to start working with the good leaders in my neighborhood. I think I want to make a contribution to the community." Yeah, he might have an awakening, and have a transformation, an experience of transformation that had happened. Yes. Now, God says, "And take the best thereof, and take the best thereof." God tells us during the fast month of Ramadan, I'm giving you an example. During the fast month of Ramadan, it says if you are in sound mind, if you are sane and healthy body, you should fast the days of the month, the whole month of Ramadan. Fast. It's coming up soon. You should fast the month of Ramadan, all the days of the month of Ramadan, 29 or 30 days. But God says, if you are sick, you don't have to. God says, if you're traveling, you don't have to fast those days you're traveling. And God says, you can make up for the days you don't fast by feeding, giving a poor person his or her meals for each day you miss. Now, there are some fellows who are very comfortable financially. Ramadan comes, they just carry on their business as they normally would do. And when Ramadan is over, they feed 60 people. You have to feed 60, double for the days. You intentionally broke it. So you feed double. You have to have double. So it's easy for them to feed 60 people. So they give 60 people enough to feed them for 60 days. God says, and take the best thereof. What is the best? God says, but it is best that you fast if you understood. because it teaches you piety and self-restraint so that you come closer to what God wants you to be for the good of yourself, your family, and mankind. Yes. So, and take the best thereof. I could speak on this for another 20 minutes or more. But let's go to Muhammad himself. Prayers and peace be on him. And that's the way we salute him, the traditional salute to him. He himself, the model of human excellence, God says, for any who believes in God in the last day. That means any who believes in God and believes that their life should be lived for God. If it's not lived for God, then you're going to answer for a life that is not acceptable. God, a life that God does not accept. So people who believe that, and that's Christians, Jews, and many others, people who have that kind of faith, our holy book that God gave us, it tells us that Muhammad is a model, an excellent model for such people. Not just for Muslims. Jesus Christ is a model for mankind. Muhammad is a model for humankind, for mankind. Not just for a particular group of people following a way of a certain way. No, for all human beings. So this model we're talking about, this human model we're talking about, is, as God says, he is a mortal, human mortal, like you, mithlukum, like you. He's not an angel. He's not a god. We are not given a god to imitate. We can't imitate God. It's impossible. We are not of that divine nature. We are not a divine creature. We are human creatures. We can't imitate God. We only can follow God in his descriptions that we identify with. But we can't be as perfect as he is in that. For we describe God, or God has described himself to us too, as merciful. So we know that he wants us to be merciful. And he's described as pure. He wants us to want purity and to seek purity. He's described as the truth. He wants us to be truthful, etc. So that in his descriptions or his divine attributes that we share, because he has imparted that from himself to us by way of creation, then to that extent, we can follow God. But we cannot be perfect. We are not perfect beings. We are beings subject to error, as the philosopher says. And we are subject to lose the good life that we have and the good sense that we have, and have to be rescued by good people or by the mercy of God, as God says, by the mercy of God. Yes. So Muhammad the Prophet now, he's a model for us, and he's a model of our human life in its excellence, that God wants for all human beings. He's a model of that for us. So God tells us to follow him, to believe in him, first of all, says, and believe in his messenger. Don't only believe in God. He says, believe in God and in the messenger, both. To believe in God is one thing. To believe in the messenger of God is to believe in the possibility of human beings living a successful life, succeeding, and enjoying all the joy that God created them to enjoy. That means you believe that human beings can conquer corruption in their life. They can conquer laziness. They can conquer indecency. They can conquer these things and have a good life. You believe then that human beings can live with each other and trust each other. They can live with each other and not fear being hurt or harmed by each other or robbed, etc., by each other. So you believe then that human beings can have a peaceful and good community life if you believe in Muhammad. And that's following the logic to its correct conclusion. And God tells us, follow the logic to its correct conclusions. And God didn't send men from him into the world from him. How? Into the world from him? Yes. When God calls a man to serve him, he first takes him out of the world. And then when he prepares him, he sends him back into the world. But he first has to take him out and prepare him, and he sends him back in. Then he knows how to do his job. Once God prepares him, he knows how to do his job in the world. So God puts him right back in the world. So Muhammad, we follow him in his excellence, and we are to believe in him. And God says, obey him. وَأَتِيُوا اللَّهَ وَأَتِيُوا الرَّسُولَ. Obey God and obey his messenger. Not only that, and obey those that you put in authority. You put somebody in authority, you voted, you elected that person, you put them in authority, you put them there. Then you're supposed to obey them until you disqualify them. If you disqualify them, then put another one there, or put others there. But those that you have authorized, then you obey them. And they shouldn't order anything that they don't have an authorization for. And as Muslim leaders, we are authorized by two sources. The Word of God, called our Holy Book, or the Quran, and the life example of Muhammad the Prophet, who received that book from God. We are authorized by that. So if I come from myself and start ordering or saying things arbitrarily, that mean on my own, without respect for the sources that I'm supposed to be under or obeying, then you reject me as your leader and you don't follow me in those things. God even tells children, if they can read the book, God even tells children to disobey parents. He said, obey them. But if they order something that you cannot find support for from God, then don't obey them in that, but keep good company with them in this world. You hear that? You hear that? This world tells parents, don't listen to children. I mean children, don't listen to parents. Tell children, don't listen to parents. And doesn't follow it up, say, but be nice to them in this world. Well, what do you mean? This world is not telling children not to obey parents. I was watching a commercial on TV. And they were trying to sell my child something I didn't approve of. So they were telling that child to disobey me. This is a commercial. I'm not talking about the wild streets. Yes, a commercial. Trying to sell my children something I wouldn't want them to buy. Trying to make them spend too much money. Want them to live rich and they poor. Life is hard enough without that invitation from the commercial world. Hop it up on the poor, you know what I'm talking about. Yes. So God says, obey your parents, but if they order something for you that you don't find any support for from me, from God, then don't follow them in that, but keep good company with them in this world. That means for the rest of their life, as long as you live, as long as they live and you're living, you're supposed to be kind to them and try to have good company with them. Even though they told you, I don't like that religion you got now. We're Christians, you become a Muslim. You're not supposed to say, you Kafir. That's the crazy world that we see. the Islamic world that we see. That's the crazy world we see. You kafir, even though you be my mother, I reject you, you kafir. And he'll probably be looking up from hell fire, and God will permit him to, just to have one glimpse of his mother and his Christian relatives in heaven, and then cut it off right quick. So life is a road, you know, and it began the moment we come into this world. It's a road we have to travel. Muhammad said of himself, peace be on him, he said, I'm like a traveler in the world. And I stopped under a tent. And I guess the tent is the comfort that you finally reach. And then he returns to his God. Life is over. And so it is for all of us. Life is a journey. Life is a road. The poets, the philosophers, and the preachers of religion, we all know that life is a journey. We begin, the first step is with the life that God created for us. This life that we know, that all of us know, our human life, our flesh bodies, that serve us as a home and a transport. We live in this body. And this body transports us. That's the first life. That's the life God made.
For more on the ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, call or write Ministry of W. Dean Muhammad, 1-708-798-6750. All right, Ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Journal, see local distributors. And thanks for listening.